Nomads back in town with the 4 Hour Outdoorsman. We just got done listening to Jake Nelson and his buddy Damien from the Jake Nelson Band, I think. And Jake, I just got a text from my gorgeous wife in Chatek right now. She said the hot tub is waiting for you guys. All right? So we're going to party there sometime. We're going to get there.
Be careful with that invite.
Jake likes to party. Hey, tell you what. Thanks for coming to you and listening to the 4 Hour Outdoorsman. Strewman here, Mark, Luke, and Sam off the doll. We got a lot to talk about tonight, don't we? It's going to be a lot of fun, man.
It's getting fun to be outside again, I'll tell you that.
I thought you for sure were going to say that it's getting funner. You're a funner guy, aren't you?
I speak English.
It is a lot of fun. But I'll tell you what, let's talk. You're turning into a fishing fool, pal.
I know. I've been on the water 3 days in a row. Shout out to my dad, Dave, and my son, Nick, and Max and Sam. They're listening tonight. I hope you guys are enjoying your pizza. It's always pizza night.
What kind of pizza?
I think they got Wise Guys, which is a place in Centerville.
And actually, it's very good.
Yeah, it is very good. It's expensive, but it's very good.
Your dad's at your place right now?
Yep.
Hey, Dave, how you doing, buddy? Haven't seen you for a long time, and good to have you in town.
He came up for a while, had to break quarantine a little bit. He's needed to see some fam, and I was okay with that. So we did it. We went fishing. I've been on the water 3 days in a row. It's been awesome. Great weather. We hit a local lake on Friday. Didn't see much. It was just windy. It's really hard to fish, especially with kids when it's super windy. We just can't.
It's been really, really windy.
And then we went to Minnetonka on Saturday and just killed them. So we went out there in the morning.
So who went with you to Minnetonka? All three kids?
Nick and my dad and myself went to Minnetonka.
Was it busy?
You know, we got out there early and we found a parking spot. I was paranoid. I was thinking we'd have to get there at 7, but we got out there at, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 8:30, and we found a parking spot. It was busy when we were coming off the water at noon. You know, the ramps and everything were pretty crazy. A lot of people getting in the water, but it worked out just perfect for us. The wind picked up right as we were leaving, so we found a nice shallow bay. We found a spot. Thank you, Mike Farrell and Adam Griffith, for giving me some ideas.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a spot that I've been to before, so I kind of knew where to go. But it's always I'm not too familiar with Minnetonka, to be honest with you. I've probably fished it 4 or 5 times max in my life.
There's a lot of fish there.
There is a lot of fish.
Did any strangers make mention of the brand new 4 Outdoorsman logo on the side of your boat?
I don't have a new one
there
yet. No, no.
Oh, man.
We are going to have a new logo coming out. Hot news.
Hot news.
Sam here has been hard at work. He's been designing. We're going to come out with a new logo, freshen it up a bit. And pretty soon, we're going to be coming out with the 4 Outdoorsman apparel available on our website, the4outdoorsman.com. We're going to get that up there pretty soon. So if you see something's changing, that's all Sam.
Yeah, boy. Thanks, Sam.
Hey, I'm excited. It's going to be good.
You have a lot of fun doing it, don't you?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's the sense of accomplishment, and you see something, and you come from a design and put it on a T-shirt, and you start wearing it. It's pretty cool.
But, you know, since Mark unilaterally decided you're going to be the full-time guy here, why don't you tell us about your background?
Yeah, sure. Really quick, though, I'm going to do that. Speaking of getting on boats,
I'm in charge here.
So anyway, yeah, it's like 12 years ago.
Just establish I'm in charge.
I just had this thought.
Go ahead.
Do you feel the pressure when there's a lot of people at a boat dock and you're like, okay,
yes,
get this thing on. Oh, not on the rollers. Back up. Oh, okay, get this thing on.
I feel more pressure when my dad's with me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to disappoint that man.
Yeah.
I had to get that off my chest.
It's kind of like when you were younger and you drive. Do you ever drive a stick shift, a clutch, and you're on a little hill and there's people behind you at a red light? It's scary, man.
It is.
It's scary.
But yeah, I'll give a little quick 30-second history of Sam. I've been in the I've been hunting and fishing my whole life with my dad. We kind of had this select group growing up. My dad, my brother Pete, my uncle Mike, and my cousin Joe. We did everything together. We did hunting, fishing, anything, everything outdoors.
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah, it was. We did all our birthdays together, Christmases. We were just really close, and I love it. You know, some of the best memories in my life were from that. And you know, we still laugh about them when we see each other. And you know, so that really gave that passion inside me to kind of figure out how I could do this for a living. And you know, I had other odd jobs that helped me get to where I was. You know, I'm thankful for every stepping stone that God gave me to get there. My passion is the outdoors and hunting and fishing. And I've been working retail. I worked retail, and you know, I was gun manager and hunting manager at a couple different big retailers, and got picked out of there by a couple different big companies. The biggest one I was with was Ruger.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was a pro staff for Ruger. I did I was the guy that was loading ammo at shows and cleaning up, teaching people how to shoot, and I did that for a number of years. And then
I applied for a job there as well, but I called it Rugger, and they just you know, said, all right, that's enough, pal. But,
Funny story, when I first started, they didn't have a name tag for me. They just had a thing that said Ruger. So the guy, Craig, who's actually now my daughter's godfather, wrote Sam above it. So it said Sam Ruger,
yeah.
And he didn't even think about
they
that.
Thought you were the owner.
Yeah. Everyone thought I was like, "Oh my gosh, like you're with
you're
you are Ruger."
Ruger the third. You know,
I went to say no, and Craig's like, "Yeah, actually, he is. Yep." So yeah, his grandpa started it, and so everyone thought I was like, "That was one show." We didn't
hey, welcome to the team, buddy. I'll tell you what. Let's talk. Mark was talking about fishing. You got more stuff on fishing right now, or
I guess not. I guess. We've been catching crappies. It's been fun. They're in
shallow.
What
are the size? You catching some 10, 12 inches or not?
A Minnetonka we did.
We did good.
We got some nice ones. Good eating size. Only three or four we threw back. Oh, by the way, I used an electric fillet knife for the first time. Do you remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
Which one?
It was a Berkeley one. It was one
I ordered you one.
You did?
Yeah.
Good. Because mine, you have to plug into the car lighter.
Ugh. Like, where do you do it then?
I did
in the back
bed,
seat?
On the back of my truck, but I had about
how
one...
How long's the cord?
It was a long cord, but I had about 1 inch to move, right? So I stretched it all the way through the truck, out the back window, and I'm sitting on the tailgate, and I'm like, I have to position it exactly right. So yes, thank you so much for getting me an electric knife. But
good for you, buddy.
I got to say this. I've been a purist my whole life and used a fillet knife, and my dad taught me how to fillet fish, and I do an okay job at it. I'm not great. My dad is fantastic at it. And so I tried it for the first time. It was fantastic.
I'm going to record. Well, tape. I'm going to tape this on my cell phone or something and send it to Bob Krejci, a good friend of ours, Bob Krejci. And he is a purist. And to this day, he's my age. He's 68, 69 years old. He's never used one. He said he'll never use. He'll never use an electric.
When knife. I've seen a lot of people do it with walleyes, which obviously in theory is a lot easier because it's a bigger fillet, right?
Yeah.
So I had some, you know, smaller end bluegills that I was flaying, and man, it worked like a breeze.
Good
it was
for you.
It was fast. There's a lot of eggs and crappies still, so they're still spawning, but we caught a lot of fish. I cleaned 19 panfish, I don't know, in probably 15 minutes. Probably would have taken me 45 with a knife. So
wow,
it was
good for you.
I was really happy I tried it, and I'm converted.
Attaboy.
It reminds me, like, when we would go where we would go and stay, they had this little fish cleaning house. You mm-hmm. know, it was like 6 feet by 6 feet. It was all screened.
But the screens always have holes in them,
yeah,
and you always get murdered by mosquitoes.
And there was like a little hole. And I remember like watching my uncle and my dad, like they would fillet fish. And then I, you know, as I got older, I learned technology and I got one of these electric fillet knives. Well, I think it would have helped if we would have sharpened the knife that they were using because like it was so dull. And then I come in and it's like, you know, now like a warm knife through butter.
Yeah.
I've converted them all, but. It's crazy what technology can do.
Yeah,
know?
We got about 4 minutes before breaking our first guest, Kurt Wahlbeck of Outdoor Bound TV.
4 minutes? What clock are you on?
We got 10
eight,
minutes.
Okay, 10 minutes. Well, then we got, I was thinking about.
Yeah, you cut me off with my history. Yeah, no, we got 10 more minutes.
Now we have not a lot of time. But I want you to, before the show started, you guys, all of our listeners, these guys BS so much about great stories that we get to tell on air. And Sam went out turkey hunting with a friend.
Friend X.
Yeah, a friend of his. And this guy is the real deal. Share this story again, pal. This is worth listening to.
Well, I'll try and make it for the 4 minutes.
No, we got more and more.
Well, I
got
to talk about fishing for the front lines, too. So.
Oh, that's right.
Do you want to say that first?
You want me to do that first?
Yeah okay. Do that quick.
So I just want to remind everybody that I'm a part of, and Minnesota Bound is a part of, a virtual fishing tournament coming up this Saturday on Minnesota Opener. Minnesota Bound invites all anglers that will be fishing during the Minnesota Fishing Opener this Saturday, May 9th, to participate in a digital fishing event that will raise money for our frontline healthcare workers to battle against COVID-19. All proceeds raised from this event will go to the U of M Caregiver Emergency Fund to support the needs of physicians, nurses, and other frontline caregivers. Your donation will support their health and well-being, as well as supplies and equipment for patient care. It's really easy to enter. You download the Fish Donkey app on your phone, sign up and create an account, search Fishing for Our Front Lines in the app, and join the event. Review the rules and procedures so you're ready to record your fish catches on opening day. It's $20. All profits go directly to the U of M Caregiver Emergency Fund. Please do it if you're going to be out on the water anyway. This is a fun thing. There's a lot of great prizes you can win. a week getaway. You can win Fleet Farm gift cards, all sorts of stuff. There's great prizes. Border View Lodge, Rapala, Lowrance. You can win a unit from Lowrance. And thank you to Illumicraft, who's also part of this. So please sign up if you can, if you're going to be out. I know if you're listening to this show, there's a good chance you're going to be out. So sign up. If you have any questions about it, email the show, and I will help you through it.
No, but just call Mark. 776. No, 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 no.
555.
No, you actually should call Strew, because he signed up, paid us $20.
A left-handed Strew Pollock.
Strew can figure it out.
Yeah.
A left-handed Pollock from the east side of St. Paul figured out I spent my $20, and I may not even be on the water, because I want to see how this Fish Donkey app works and how they record them. You see the board, the results.
You can at least watch the tournament.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, so do it. All the money goes to a good cause.
So I'll tell this quick story. So, yeah, friend X shows up Friday. I got a couple different pieces of property, and he wants to shoot an eastern turkey. He's like two away, or he was two away from his turkey slam. Guys shot, you know, 60 plus turkeys. We go out, we're running and gunning, man. Like when Mark and I went out, we took our time. You know, we were, you know, 2 6
like
foot
deer
five
hunting.
Plus
the deer hunting,
super delicate, you know, dainty, really. I thought we did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
I still think we did.
We look good.
We definitely look good. But, yeah, so he comes out and he puts on, first of all, I'm pretty sure his boxers were camo. Everything he had camo. His truck had 16 decoys in the back.
Wow.
And he put this vest on and he had seven different calls. And I'm like, okay, like, should I be nervous or should I be excited?
Yeah.
And we got on some birds yesterday, took a shot at one, didn't get it. And we got out there today, and we called in. He's going to town doing this, as he called a sequence. We went to town. We called in a bird from, I don't even know. It was 700-800 yards away. You couldn't even hear it, and then it kept getting closer and closer. And we got set up, and he did everything right. And here I was kind of like, you know, I thought this was a kind of a joke how much, you know, stuff was going on. But he knew what he was doing. And I was
explain the crow call.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so this is
how
cool.
Does it sound?
Why
exactly?
Would a turkey hunter call make a crow call?
So he has a little. It looks so. Picture, listen to this, or how do I say this?
We're on the radio here.
Think of this. Yeah, there you go.
Paint a picture with your mind.
Okay. So, does anyone have a whiteboard? Just joking. So if you know those little New Year's Eve horns,
yeah,
if you took that and times it by 100.
Multiplied it, yes.
Yeah. Or multiplied it. Mm-hmm. Is this pick on Sam?
I think it is, yeah.
What the hell?
Trying to get you through the story.
Yeah.
Continue.
This is funner than my story.
Are you going to stop me?
No, go ahead. We got time.
But anyway, so yeah, the crow call is super loud. And it's crazy because he was saying I'm going to hit this crow call. It'll let any turkey know that it spotted hens or it was scared out of the food plot. I'm like, okay, that sounds right. And then he hit.
Sounds crazy.
Yeah. He did this minute and a half sequence of turkey calls on three different things.
And loud. And
it was hurting my ears. I'm not even joking. When he would do it, I would kind of close my one ear. And he was like, yeah, they're going to come. They're going to come. I'm not. 5 minutes later, five turkeys come down this road. Just like he said, there was four Jakes and this giant Tom. Came right into the decoys, and at first he was like, I'm not putting any Tom decoys. They were scared of him yesterday. We're doing about six hens. It's going to be perfect. I'm pretty sure he wanted to measure them, how far apart they were.
6 feet. They have to be 6 feet.
Thank you, Fred. Yes, they were.
Yeah.
And comes right in, huge Tom, 10-inch beard, hammered.
Nailed it.
And now you're sold on this guy. And all of his techniques.
So basically, I went on Amazon on the way home and started ordering them.
We basically have no idea what we're doing. That's probably why we're not getting turkeys.
We're about 12 calls short. We need matching vests.
12 decoys short.
We need 17 decoys and a crow call.
Was he anything
It was fun, though. He's a great guy, and it solidified our friendship.
For some reason, it reminds me of Napoleon Dynamite's cousin, the football star.
Uncle Rico.
Yeah, Uncle Rico. I can throw a pigskin a quarter mile. It was kind of like
listen up,
that.
Napoleon.
It was like that, but you know what? The guy shot 60 plus birds in his life, so I'm like, I'm doing it wrong. You know, you got to go into it, and it's funny because when you shoot him, he just got up and ran after it, like Thane did.
He choked it out like Thane did.
Oh no, he shot a 3.5-inch at TSS Federal. It looked like a slug hit it, but he got up, ran. I'm used to deer hunting.
Yeah. Like, that's just throwing us off. We're now, being all dainty.
You are not getting out of this story unless you show us the crow call. What's there you go. That's good enough.
We just caused three accidents.
Yeah, yeah. and broke about five radios and all that. Go ahead. You got a couple of shout-outs?
Not
there,
as good
Mark?
As your hen, though.
Well, that's let's right. go get shout-outs before the break here. Thanks for writing in. If you want to be on the 4 Outdoorsmen, go to the 4 Outdoorsmen Facebook page. Our friend Jesse Koken, you know how to say it.
Koskinimi
shot a bird with a 10-inch beard. Great-looking bird there. Our friend Bill Katz and sponsor says, almost done. He's grilling up some chicken, looks like. Have a great show. John Marshall says, trying to find some more room, getting the final touches before opener. That's a lot of jigging wraps you got there, buddy. Tony Lippa says, shout out to Hunter and Frank Lippa. It's their first ever turkey. Hunter was the gunman taken outside of Alexandria, making Uncle Tony proud. And Chris Davis says, looking forward to the show, guys. Thank you, everyone, for writing in every week, and we really do appreciate it.
I've got a shout out. Well, I got a couple of them, but this one's big. To our friend Jason Mitchell. From Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Did you see the walleye guy got? That might have been 16 pounds. He didn't weigh it. He didn't measure it. It was monster. I don't know. He might have measured it. I'm not even sure. But it was the biggest walleye he's ever caught.
On his Facebook?
It's in the Outdoor News, and which just came out a couple of days ago. But it was absolutely the biggest walleye he's ever seen. And it could very well be a state record for North Dakota. But he didn't have the right stuff to measure and all that, so we let it go. He said, screw it.
Good for him. I would have kept it.
Wow. Yeah. And a shout out to me. I got a couple wild animals this week as well. You might have seen that. I shot
a squirrel?
Two of them. I got two of them, buddy.
Who cleaned your gun for you?
My buddy Mark Lukey did.
Nice.
But you didn't rub the rust off the barrel like you said you were going
to
shoot.
I don't know how to do that.
I know how to do that. But hey, I got two red squirrels, man. I was proud of them. 6:20 every morning.
You ate them, right?
I think there's only two in the yard as well.
Those are the ones you want to get, too.
Yeah. And I felt bad about posting it at first, but everyone's saying, hey, I got to do the same thing, pal. Red squirrels are nothing but a pain in the butt.
Ugh, so, that is worse.
Yeah, but go ahead. You got something there, Sam?
No.
Oh, nothing at all?
I'm afraid to talk now.
Let's go to music, pal. I'll tell you, right back with our buddy Kurt Walbeck, Outdoor Bound TV. Talk about the Wisconsin Governor Open and a whole bunch of other stuff.
You're listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen, part of Bob Outdoors.
Hey, this is True Man here from my favorite fishing destination by far, and that's Devil's Lake. We get there as often as we can, not only for the Devil's Lake jumbo perch, the 12-month walleye season with no slot and 10 in possession, but there's a whole lot more. Plenty of hiking trails, great hunting, restaurants, casino resorts, package deals, and there's something literally for everyone who loves the outdoors. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
If you don't know Power Lodge, you don't know Marine and Power Sports Dealers. Power Lodge in Ramsey, Onamia, and Brainerd has everything you need for the outdoors. ATVs, UTVs, sleds, bikes, golf carts, side-by-sides, and Alumacraft boats with, right now, the red tag sale that can save you up to $2,500. You got a trade-in? It's Power Lodge. You need service? That's Power Lodge. You need storage? Ask Lukey on that one. He stores his boat every year at Power Lodge. Got more questions? Go to powerlodge.com.
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but you thought it'd be too hard or take too much time? Then go to Babbel.com, download the app, and try it for free. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. And right now, you can try Babbel for free. Babbel starts out teaching you words and phrases by matching them with pictures. You won't believe how easy the interactive program is. Soon the sentences get a little bigger, and before you know it, you're having simulated conversations voiced by native speakers. And because Babbel is crafted by language experts and uses the spaced repetition method, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking the language of your choice with real confidence. With Babbel, you can speak a language. Just go to babbel.com and start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Download the Babbel app or go to babbel.com and try it for free. That's BABBEL.com.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents and Doug.
Breathe out and repeat after me. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Your bird is eating my candles.
Your bird is eating my candles.
No, seriously, he's making a mess.
No, seriously, he's...
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
When you have trouble sleeping, it's tough. When kids have trouble sleeping...
Mom, I can't sleep. Dad, just one more story?
For nights like this, try Vicks Pure Z's Kids. Our great-tasting gummies are specially formulated for kids with a unique blend of botanicals and a low dose of melatonin to support their natural sleep cycle. Best of all, they're drug-free and non-habit-forming. Help your child fall asleep naturally with Pure Z's Kids Gummies. Consult with a doctor before use. For ages 4 and up.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, Brandon, what if one of those kids from the last commercial sees Mom and Dad's gummy bears on the kitchen counter?
Ooh.
You have a problem?
That could be a problem.
Hey, welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Strew Man here, Sam, off it all, Mark, Lukey, and I tell you, we're going to get right to it because a friend of mine, Kurt Walbeck, is on the phone. Kurt, are you there, buddy?
Hey there. How you doing, Strew? Great to see you.
Every day's a gift, pal. I'll tell you what, the reason we had you, I hope that you fished the Wisconsin Opener someplace this weekend. Did you not?
We sure did.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Kurt Walbeck does. I met him a couple of years ago when I had a chance to do fishing the Governor's Open in Wisconsin. And he took our little fishing day, made it in one of his shows on Outdoor Bound TV, which was really a lot of fun. And, of course, I caught the biggest fish. I only caught one fish, but
that's all that matters.
But I caught a bass, and it was a lot of fun. So he does Outdoor Bound TV. He's been doing this for about 11 years. I mean, no, since 2011, I think. And it's a wonderful show. But I know that you were supposed to be someplace else today, right? You were not supposed to be in town to be able to fish in the Wisconsin Governor's Open. What did you have planned instead?
Well, we normally are on the South Island of New Zealand this week. Each year we make the trip to New Zealand to hunt the red stag and Himalayan tar, fallow deer, and so on, usually the last week of April and the first week of May. So we were actually supposed to be on the South Island hunting red stags as we speak. So with the coronavirus pandemic, we had to kind of alternate plans a little bit. Obviously, no travel was allowed into the country of New Zealand, so we kind of had to scrap those plans. And this is the first time, I think, Strew, since you and I got to fish together, that we've actually been back here in Wisconsin for the fishing opener.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, the red stag, I hear about it more and more all the time. Billy Moles is a good friend of ours, and he went last year for the first time. And we have Melissa Bachman on. A couple of weeks ago, and she went, and it's got to be one of the most beautiful countries out there.
It really is. New Zealand, you know, people ask all the time, they come up at trade shows and sport shows, and they say, you know, what is it about New Zealand? And it really is. It's probably one of the most beautiful destinations we get a chance to travel to each year. The people are incredibly friendly. It's very much an agricultural area on the South Island that where we're hunting. Super, super people and very clean country. I always say you'd be challenged to find a piece of litter anywhere along the roadway. Cool. And just a great place to be. And because it's in the southern hemisphere right now, they're just going into their fall. So the red stags are hard into the roar, it's what it's called. So, you know, like here our elk bugle, well, in the spring there, or their fall, the red stag go into the roar. So right now they're getting ready to rut, so those big old red stakes are roaring. The fallow deer are in the rut as well, so it's a great, great time to get a chance to be down there.
Well, you are not there. You happen to be here, and since the Minnesota Opener is next weekend, it's got to be similar conditions to what you experienced the last couple of days. Tell us what happened about in Wisconsin yesterday and today.
Well, I think the one underlining word that you can sum up the 2020 Wisconsin Opener is wind.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere we went, the wind was just terrible. Now, I will say Saturday morning early for the first couple hours was incredible, and the fishing was very, very good. Water temps are a little bit cooler than normal. We found most of the water temps right in that high 40s to low 50 degree areas, which this time of year we should be seeing mid-50s and even upwards of some low 60s in some of the shallow bays. So the water temp is a little bit cooler than normal. But once that wind came up on Saturday, most of the fish activity stopped once that wind came up.
So what is the ultimate temperature for you to fish walleyes this time of the year?
Well, I think typically on most of the inland lakes here in the upper Midwest, the walleyes will typically spawn in that low 50-degree, high 49-degree, depending upon the body of water. So the fish we're targeting right now are obviously post-spawn. So they're done with the spawn, which is a good time because they've got their feed bag on, right? They've used up a lot of energy during that spawn, so they're ready to eat. The problem is finding them. Typically this time of year, we like to look for shallow flats. And when I say shallow, 4 to 6 feet of water that are close to the spawning areas. So if a body of water you're fishing, typically the walleye spawn up a river that feeds into it, well, then somewhere close to the mouth of that river. If they're sand spawners or gravel spawners, maybe there's no moving water that comes into a body of water, so they spawn up in the sand. Then again, you want to look for some type of 4 to 6 feet of water that is conjunction with where those fish typically spawn. What we found on Saturday is we fished a lake in northwest Wisconsin. We had to stay close to home to follow the governor's orders here. The suggestion is that you stay somewhere close to home. So we targeted Long Lake in northwest Wisconsin, just outside of New Auburn.
That's the home of the cable guy, I think. What's his name?
Exactly.
What's his real name?
Jim Carrey.
No, the cable guy.
Larry?
Larry the cable guy.
Yeah,
he's got a place on Long Lake.
Nebraska.
No, never mind. Keep on going.
No. We targeted weed edges, and we found fish. We found walleyes in those weed edges in about 4 to 5 feet of water. They weren't really active fish, and what I mean by that is they weren't chasing a lot of bait. So the old jig and minnow, which is kind of your go-to for a search bait this time of year, was not working. We could see the fish on side scan, but we couldn't make them bite. And what we did find is just a small fathead minnow on a hook under a slip bobber, a very, very slow presentation, not a lot of flash, not a lot of movement, was the trigger. I think we put 12 or 13 walleyes in the boat, probably within a half hour there, once we got onto that spot.
That's exciting. I'll tell you what, so good. You got to say something?
I was going to say, Kurt, how is that compared to a couple of your fly-in trips? I watched a couple of your videos this week, and those fly-in trips look just magical.
You know, it's fly-in fishing is something I hope everybody could experience at least once in their lifetime. It's one of those things that when you can go into your own private lake in an airplane, get dropped off, and you watch that airplane fly away, and you know for the next 5 to 7 days, you've got that lake entirely to yourself. It's awesome. I'm telling you, it's a neat feeling. There is no rush to be out early in the morning. You know, typically walleyes are a low light feeding fish. So if you're targeting walleyes, you know, you're always up at the crack of dawn and out at the late hour. In most of these lakes, they see so little pressure that, frankly, they bite all day. And you get into some of these spots, and it's not uncommon to put 40, 50, 60 fish in the boat on one spot. You never move.
I saw one of your videos where
it's neat to be that.
You guys were using an actual flasher. Is that pretty common for what you do up there?
It's not. We went to the folks at Markham and said, okay, we're going to do a fly-in. What do you suggest? What can you do? And we actually took one of the lithium shuttles by Markham that's built for ice fishing, and we paired just a typical LX7 Markham unit with it, and they gave us an open water transducer to pair with it.
Wow.
And we mounted on a suction cup, believe it or not. Once we got in, we attached the suction cup to the back of the 16-foot boat that's there, and we were actually using that Markham in graph mode with that transducer and the suction cup. So we kind of had the best of both worlds. We had, because typically on these flying lakes, you don't have any electronics, you have no mapping, you have nothing. So we kind of cheated a little bit, if you will, with the electronics, and boy, did that make a difference to be able to actually see what's in some of these northern areas.
You know, what a thrill. I've gone on maybe two or three fly-ins in my life, but it's been 30 years at least, I'm guessing. And, you know, it's just every time we're flying into who knows where it is, you fly over all of this water and you think, this place has to be some place where no one's ever been before. Why can't we just land there? You know, you get up in the air, there's an awful lot of water. And I can't picture someone's been on every body of water that you fly over, but maybe they have. But boy, it is quite an experience. It is quite an experience. Good for you. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, it was pretty cool too, because on this one video, you said it was like 200 and some miles away from any civilization.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it's a little bit of an eerie feeling, like I said, when you watch a float plane fly away. But you know, today especially, and we did that trip with Nestor Falls Flying Outpost out of Nestor Falls, Ontario, and incredible accommodations. You know, everything from Wi-Fi service in the cabin to satellite TV and phones and so on. So you would never know that you're 200 and some miles up into the Canadian bush, to tell you the truth. It's super comfortable, but yet you've got the lake entirely to yourself.
I remember I get to go with my dad up north about every other year. We've been going up flying trips since I was about 12. And last time we went to Cabillo Lodge, and it was a little scary because they drop us off and we're the only cabin on the entire lake. And they said, yeah, if anything goes wrong, put this orange bucket on the pier. And then maybe someone flying over will see you. So I'm like, oh, geez.
You were alone?
Yeah, we were completely alone, isolated. And, you know, sometimes they're like, well, we can give you a satellite phone. We're like, no. And he's like, well, put an orange bucket out if something happens. So you can tell that you are definitely isolated when you go on trips like that. That's for sure.
It kind of makes it cool, though, because it brings it back to before
electronics. There is a story of a group similar to that, you know, a typical fly-in. And that's how it was done for many, many years. The reason the orange bucket is because when the float plane was taking others by, if they flew over your lake and saw that orange bucket, they knew they needed to land because something was wrong. But there's actually a story, believe it or not, of a gentleman that passed away on the second day of his trip from a heart condition. And he was in with seven other of his buddies, and they knew they weren't going anywhere for 7 days. They knew no one was coming to check on
him. Wow.
So, you know, you talk about a situation you've got to deal with. They ended up taking the ice that they had. They packed their buddy in ice in an old canoe, and they said, you know what? What would he want us to do? He'd want us to go fishing, and that's exactly what they did.
Wow, that's a great story.
That reminds me of Chevy Chase and Edna when they put Edna on top of the car.
Or Weekend at Bernie's. They just propped him up, put a pole in his hand.
Yeah. Hey, Kurt, I'll tell you what. I try to watch as many of your videos as I possibly can. And one of my favorite was when you were fishing the Fox River for what they call Green Bay Gold. I thought that was quite an experience. Talk a little bit about that show, would you?
You know, that's just a unique body of water because the Fox River actually runs north. Many people don't realize that. It runs out of Lake Winnebago in Wisconsin, runs north into Green Bay. So it becomes a primary spawning route for many of those Green Bay walleyes to come into that Fox River. That lake is very popular, that river is very popular. It actually runs right downtown Green Bay and De Pere. It separates those two cities. So you're fishing right amongst downtown buildings, and it's some of the best walleye fishing because those big old Green Bay Gold walleyes head right up into that river system. And it's not uncommon to see 50, 60, 70 boats in that river system.
Wow.
So on any given night. So we got lucky. The night we were there, we were kind of crowded for the first hour or so, and then we had a big blow come through and it dumped probably an inch and a half of rain in about 20 minutes. And when it finally quit, there was only one other boat and us left on the river. It kind of chased everybody off, and we had just an awesome night. What you didn't see on that episode was we actually had about a 48-inch, 49-inch muskie, from what we could tell. We never were able to get it in the boat that we actually hooked up on as well, and brought it up the boat 2-3 times. Unfortunately, we didn't have a net large enough to get that fish in, so we were never able to bring it into to the boat. But, you know, you never know what you're going to catch. There's sturgeon in that body of water. There's, you know, great walleyes, northern pike, muskie, just about everything in the Fox River.
I was surprised. I think there's only you and the guide is all I saw on the boat. You were using planer boards that night. I believe it was night fishing, I guess. But I heard somebody say, I think it was the guide, that you had 8 lines out. How many people were in the boat, and how many lines can you have out?
Well, thankfully, our cameraman also was fishing with us. So you're allowed in Wisconsin, you're allowed 3 lines per person. So so we were actually legally allowed to have 9 lines in the water.
I thought I was going to bust you, pal. I thought you were breaking the rules.
That was a quick thought about the cameraman, Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quick thinking, Kirk, quick thinking. Hey, I'll tell you what. Oh, go ahead, Mark, ask.
Oh, we have a couple minutes here. I just wanted to... How are you dealing with this? I work for Ron Share Productions, of course, and we do outdoors TV as well. And it's really screwing up TV filming and travel plans. Are you just adjusting or just changing plans for future episodes? Or how are you dealing with that personally on producing new content when you can't go anywhere?
Well, it's tough. And as you know, your production calendars are sent anywhere from 6 months to a year in advance. Mm-hmm. So, we got a little bit lucky for this month of April. We were actually scheduled to be in Africa for the first 2 weeks and then New Zealand for the last 2 weeks. So we've really only lost those two episodes. But that is a big loss because we love to do international trips, and a lot of our viewers love to see that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, we won't have that to be able to air. Now that we're into the month of May, we're actually able to start doing a little more filming. Some of the rules are relaxing a little bit. Now with the stay-at-home order, we can still be in the boat, but we're limited to the number of people and really limited to the number of areas. So we really haven't jumped into our summer fishing mode yet. We will hopefully in a couple weeks. We've got our fingers crossed to get some of our early season stuff in, because we actually jump right back in to do a little hunting at the end of May. We're scheduled to be in Manitoba with Terry Neely to do a little black bear hunting in Manitoba there the second to last week of May. And then we're also going to be doing a spot and stalk archery hunt for bear in the mountains of Alberta the last week of May.
You know, life is tough.
Watching that border crossing situation to make sure that the border is going to open back up when they review that on the 20th of May.
Guys like you have to have special women, and I met your wife, and she is a special lady because you travel about 200 days a year. I'll tell you what, Kurt Wahlbeck, Outdoor Bound TV, tell people how they can find your show, would you?
Well, you can catch us each weekend on ABC. We're on all 52 weeks of the year, depending upon the market that you're in, either 10, 10:30, or 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
Yep.
If not, you can always catch us on YouTube. We have an Outdoor Bound TV YouTube channel, and for our viewers in Canada, they catch us on Wild TV.
I love your stuff, buddy. Hey, thanks for joining us on the 4 Outdoorsmen. Be safe. Keep fishing and hunting. I'm telling you, you guys haven't seen his Outdoor Bound television show? You got to see it. It's one of the best. Kurt, thanks for being a friend of the 4 Outdoorsmen. Have a great summer, all right?
Hey, as always, guys, thank you very much, and have a great day.
You bet, buddy. You too. Talk to you later. You know, he's such a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess we're breaking away. Clint Mueller is going to be on. He's with the Balsam Beach Resort. He's one of our new sponsors. Be right back after this word.
Thanks for donating during the 2020 Bob FM Radiothon. The generous donors helped us raise $15,000 to help Fishing for Life and Reach for Resources continue to provide kids and those with disabilities throughout Minnesota with the help they need. And special thanks to our sponsors, Azul Cybersecurity, Plow World Power Equipment, Nelson's Meats, Big Frig Tumblers, and Hoffman Weber Construction. If you missed your opportunity to help, donate now at mybobcountry.com.
The team at Devil's Lake Tourism does all they can to make sure you have a great experience. More importantly, they want you to be safe. Until it's certain that the coronavirus is in check, please stay close to home and take care of your family. When the time is right, all the hunting and fishing opportunities will still be there. Everyone at Devil's Lake Tourism truly thanks you for your support. But for now, stay home and stay informed with devilslakend.com. Thanks, and be safe. Corey King and his crew at Power Lodge would love to show you how they work. Since 1998, Power Lodge has been one of the most successful marine and power sports dealers in the state of Minnesota for a lot of reasons. Great inventory, competitive pricing, experienced and knowledgeable staff, great service. Whether you're looking for an ATV, a snowmobile, a motorcycle, UTV, a Lumacraft boat, Power Lodge stocks, sells, and services them all. Power Lodge is in Ramsey, Onamia, and Brainerd, and check out the Today's Hot Deals tab on their website, powerlodge.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault. Creating customers for life. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life, and spring is in the air, so it's time to get ready. If you're looking to unload some of your old gear, that's rods, reels, tackle boxes, sportsman's gear, or even boats, Fishing for Life is the place to go. Why? We have over 500 volunteers rebuilding this stuff in the spring, getting it back to kids. Maybe you want to help in that department. Donate today or volunteer at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Hey, we're back. Four Outdoorsmen, Stu Man, Lukey, and Sam Offedall here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Got a special guest right on the show right now. Got a special guest. We're from southern Minnesota. Clint Mueller, Balsam Beach Resort. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Every day's a gift, my friend. How are things going up there? You got ice out?
Yep, ice went out last Tuesday.
When are docks going in?
I was working on them today because the wind finally died down.
Boy, yeah, it's been windy down here the last couple of days as well. Clint and his wife, Patty, own Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park just south of Bemidji. And you've had this place for this is your 25th year?
Yep, that's correct. We bought 95.
Well, I tell you what, that's got to be rare in that industry to hang on to a resort for more than 5 or 10 years. 24 or 25 years means you guys are doing something right.
Oh, I hope so. You know, it keeps us, we're not starving.
Yeah, no, boy. Go ahead, Mark.
How did you, just to back up a little bit, how did you get into the resort industry? I mean, it's always been a dream of mine. And did you just decide to go for it, or did you have any experience running a resort before that? How did you get started in this business?
I tell you what, we never stayed at a resort in our life prior to buying Balsam Beach Resort. Never. And it was like, we just thought, hey, it'd be fun to run a resort. Let's go for it. So we did, and it seems to be working out pretty good for us.
Well, let's talk about your background prior to them, because I have an idea of how old you are by seeing some pictures and whatnot. But you're
how old do you think he is?
Yeah, I don't want to tell you. I know how much his wife weighs as well, but I'm just kidding. Yeah. But what were you doing prior to this? You just don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to own a resort. What were you doing, and Patty, what were you doing prior to owning Balsam Beach Resort and RV Camp?
Okay, so prior to that, Patty, my wife, was doing daycare, so she was watching, I don't know, 12, 15 kids. So I stayed at work as long as I could. You know how that is.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I used to work at Bungard's Creameries. You guys heard of Bungard's Creameries?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep. I used to make Bungard's cheese. Actually, I was one of their supervisors. I ran their whey plant.
That's in the West Metro, right?
Yep. We're just over there by Cologne.
Yeah.
Cool.
How did you determine this resort as compared to other ones? Did you see a lot of resorts before you decided to buy this one?
Yep, we probably looked at 15 resorts prior to, you know, picking out this one and running with this one. So
I think this is a nice size resort. We're going to get up there in a couple of weeks, hopefully, maybe early June with your permission. But this place has 8 cabins and 30 RV campsites.
Wow.
And it's not massive. And I think it'd be – and it's a family – directed resort. I mean, this thing is focusing on family. If I wanted to come up to visit you guys, why would we come to Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park as compared to other resorts?
Well, first of all, you know, location's good. We're just 5 miles south of Bemidji. Tar Road's right to the front door. Fishing's excellent. We got a nice playground for the kids. We got outdoor heated pool, fitness center. We got tons of water toys down at the lake for the kids to play on. I mean, we got just about something for everybody to do.
Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, so with families coming up there, with the different cabins you have, what size family can you accommodate in a cabin?
Okay, so our smallest cabin is a two-bedroom, which the rates for four will sleep up to six, and our biggest cabin is a five-bedroom. The rates for 10, but will sleep up to 14.
That's a lot.
That's good. That's, you have like 35 kids, so you're
So with follow-up question, can I rent two cabins?
Yes, we have people that come up that rent two at a time, three at a time. Depends how big their family are. Good old relations always nice, but sometimes, you know, you like to drink a beer and sit at a bonfire with them, but you don't want to wake up in the morning and be looking right at them. So a lot of times, you know, we got a lot of big families come up and just do multiple cabins.
That's awesome. I assume, do you rent boats too then?
Yeah, we have 16-foot Lunds with 25 horse four strokes on. Swivel seats, depth finders, trolling motors, and I got all the way up to 18.5-foot Crestliners with 115s on. Plus, we do pontoons.
Wow.
Man, that's awesome.
Give us an idea about the lake itself. I know it's about 2,600 acres, and you are, correct me if I'm wrong, the only resort on this lake, 2,600 acres?
Correct. We're the only resort left on Lake Plantagenet. The lake is about 2,600 acres, 65 feet deep in the deepest spot. The DNR manage it for walleyes and muskie. So their primary species is walleyes. We've got some really good walleye counts. They stock fry. Every other year they put in about 1 million fry, give or take. And they stock muskie fingerlings. The alternating year is about 1,400 musk fingerlings, I think, they put in.
Wow.
So we also have the state record perch come out of Lake Plantagenet, 3 pounds, 4 ounces. Wow. That thing was a pig.
Yeah. That's crazy.
But, no, walleye fishing's excellent. Muskie fishing, you know how that is. You know, the weather's got to be good and whatnot, and the muskies will bite pretty good. Tons of northern pike. You can catch them all day. We'll get some 8, 10, 12-pounders coming out of here. Perch, you can come out and fish perch all summer long. You'll get a lot of 6 and 8s. You'll get those 10 to 12s are pretty abundant, and I've seen some 15s come off the lake.
Jeepers.
Yeah, you know, some big perch.
What year was that state record caught?
I believe 1945, so it's been a while.
3-pound, 4-ounce perch. That is absolutely.
Yep.
What's the biggest walleye have you seen pulled out of there?
30-inch walleyes, 30, 31-inch walleyes. I've seen not a lot of them, but you do see them, and most people put them back. You know, some of our guests, I've seen them keep some 27, 28s because it's probably the biggest fish they're going to catch. So they'll throw it in the freezer and take it home, and I've had guests stay here that have caught 55, 56-inch muskies in years past.
How's the lake?
I got a freezer big enough. You know, most of the muskie guys like to see them go back, but when you got a 16-year-old kid and that's the biggest fish he ever caught, you let him do what he wants. You know, it's all memories.
What was the determining factor to choose this resort as compared to others?
We looked at resorts down by Brainerd, because that's where my father-in-law lives, so the wife felt comfortable there. And we looked at resorts here. We went up over towards Grand Rapids, and basically it came down for us. It was what we got for our money. You know, we could have bought a smaller resort for the same money down by the Brainerd area, but we came up further to Bemidji, and we got twice, three times the resort for the same price we would have paid down in Brainerd for a smaller resort. So it basically came down to money. I looked at money, location, and the lake.
You know, we're talking with Clint Mueller, Balsam Beach Resort and RV Camp, and his wife Patty. They've owned it for 25 years. If you haven't seen their website, check it out. It's extremely informational, wonderful cabins, wonderful facilities, and a lot of things for families to do.
There's a great gallery with all the pictures of fish, too. My gosh, I just showed Mark one of those, the muskies. That's huge.
There's some pigs out here. They've been stocking them in here since 1982. We were originally one of the first five lakes in the state of Minnesota to get stocked with muskies, I believe, and we were one of their broodstock lakes. They were going to they actually have pulled eggs out of the females out here a couple times.
Hey, Clint, how often does the DNR do gill nets there for you and check the numbers?
We're at a 5-year revolution right now, so.
All right, so in 2012, I think it was, when they found, they did the gill nets, and they had 19 walleyes per net, which is really, really high.
Correct.
And what did they do in 2017? They still got a lot of walleyes up there, obviously.
2017, I think, you got me. I'm trying to remember. We're probably right in that 13, 14 walleyes per net.
Yeah, it's still better than most lakes, almost all the lakes in the state of Minnesota on the average. Let's talk about repeat business. Do you have a lot of repeat customers?
I would say probably about 60 to 70% of our customers are repeat clientele, yes.
All right, then let me ask you this. Has anyone reached the 10% mark yet?
Oh, yes. Oh, now, yeah. We have a lot of people that we give 10% off.
Okay,
yes.
Listen, explain that program. It's kind of a cool deal. Explain that.
Well, what we do is you have to stay with us. I think it's 4 years. You have to stay with us, and then it kicks in that every year after 4 years, we'll give you 0.5% off, up to 10% off your stay if you're a repeat customer every year. So, yeah, we've had people that have been coming and staying here with us as long as we've owned the place, 25 years.
Well, that's a compliment to you guys. Is there RV park always filled up as well, 30 campsites?
Yeah, out of those 30 campsites, 26 of them are seasonal campers, and they all came in just Saturday. So they were running around. They were having a good time. You know, everybody was trying to social distance and do their safe thing, you know, and we got our signage up, so we're trying to make sure they're paying attention. But they were glad to get out of the house and get to the lake, something different to do.
You know, what's interesting, hang on, Margaret, what's interesting is that you just mentioned the RV campers showing up, and I know you like to emphasize family with this resort. That's like a reunion. A lot of people know each other from all those years. It's just got to be a good feeling.
It is. I mean, we know all of them. We go to their kids' graduations. I mean, weddings. It's like, wow. We've had seasonal people or campers that quit staying with us for whatever reason, and we still get wedding invites and, you know, graduations and stuff. So, you know, you just take them in. They're just like family. It's kind of nice.
That's a great compliment to you guys.
Yeah, it is.
So, yep, yeah, I mean, and they're fun people, which, you know, helps too. They all like to have a chuckle, and they got a good sense of humor, so.
Hey, Clint, producer Mark here. What's the hardest part of owning a resort? I want you to burst my bubble in my dreams. Is it having to fix things all the time? Is it dealing with people once in a while? What's the hardest part of your job?
Hardest part of my job? I don't know. I mean, you're constantly always fixing stuff, but if you kind of update all your equipment and, you know, you try to keep things looking nice, there's not always a lot of fixing to do. My guess, and you're always working. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just me and Patty here. Patty stays in the lodge and floats around, and then I'm outside working all the time. So typically, I stop and BS with the guests, you know, as I'm walking through or see how they're doing or whatever, but typically I'm constantly working all the time. So that's probably my biggest beef is I don't get to fish as much as I want. And all summer long when everybody's laying around drinking beers and having a good time and relaxing, I'm hustling all the time. So that's just what I chose to do, so I can't complain about it, but that's probably the worst thing about the job.
It's got to be tough to be right next to a world-class fishery and never be able to go out and fish.
Well, you know, the thing is, we always close the lodge at 8 o'clock every night. So at 8 o'clock, I could go out and fish every night if I wanted to, and typically Plantan's a really good shad-wrap lake at night. We got a sandbar out in the middle. It's about 3-4 feet on top, and you work that at night, and you'll just slay the walleyes. But at 8 o'clock, man, there's a lot of nights I just want to get in my easy chair, turn on the TV for about half an hour, and just be left alone.
Hey, Clint, thanks for joining the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. We're going to push you really hard. Hopefully we get a chance to stop up there. Say hi to Patty. This is Clint and Patty Mueller of Balsam Beach Resort and RV Camp, just about 5 miles south of Bemidji. How do people find you if they want some more information?
Tom, hop on our website, www.balsambeachresort.com, and it's got all our information there, our phone numbers, addresses. You can email us. You can take a look at what we got going on. Check us out.
Mark.
Clint, do you have any spots for opener yet?
All my opener people canceled because of the coronavirus.
Well, there you go.
I do not have a soul in camp on opener.
Hey, listeners, if you're looking for a place to go on opener, check them out, man.
It looks gorgeous. It really does.
Bobtail shiners and chartreuse jigs. Yep.
Woo-wee.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, on the bottom of your website, I know that we're going to focus on the family, of course, I'm glad for you for doing that, but it says on the bottom of the website, it says, if you're looking for a resort that has a lot of heavy drinking and all-night partying, well, please don't choose us.
That's correct. You know, I mean, everybody needs a beer, and I ain't got a problem with that, but if you're hooting and hollering at 11:30, midnight, raising, you know, I mean, people will come up and tell us, hey, so-and-so was kind of noisy last night, and you go have a nice talk with them, and they're usually pretty good. But, yeah, if you're going to come up here to drink heavily, yeah, we'd just assume not have the headaches of it. So just being honest, I'm an honest guy. I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking most of the time.
What are the walleye limits up there?
Oh, we're at six. It's the state limit. You're allowed 6 and 1 over 20 per person.
Good for you, buddy. Thanks for joining us on the 4-Hour Outdoors. We're going to keep you posted, and hopefully we'll get up there in a couple of weeks and say hi to you guys and really see what Balsam Beach Resort and RV Camp has to offer for the public. And thanks for being on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
Yep, take care,
see
buddy.
You, Clint.
Nice place.
We got to go, man.
I was kind of looking at the website while he was talking. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Looks like the cabins are gorgeous. They're top-notch. The way it's set up, the layout. He actually puts their website, whoever did it, did a really good job, puts a whole layout of the cabin and where everything is at. And the pictures are definitely...
If you look at all the things that families can do up there as well, right from the water trampoline to a bunch of activities, they have Friday night bonfires, you know, when everybody gets together. That's really, really cool. And if you have 60%, repeat business, that says you're doing something well.
And especially all those invites to parties and weddings, that's a compliment on them.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to do that.
25 years.
Yeah, 25 crazy.
Years. And to stay married for 25 years doing that business.
Plus owning a resort.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that those guys, all they do is run in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
All they do.
You know, and it's like being a farmer. Look at what happened this winter with Geiger's and a lot of those folks up there when they had, you know, good ice, then they had snow, then it slushed the rest of the year. You live and die by the weather, you know. And coronavirus isn't helping these guys either. But
yeah.
It's a tough deal.
I'll tell you, if you're looking for a place to go, that would be a great spot to go for opener.
Yeah, he's got, like, in the sandbox for the kids, he's got these huge trucks in the water. He's got, like, a, looks like a, what do they call those? Like, a obstacle course of huge trampolines in the water.
What?
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I need more time off, man. Awesome. Cool. What are you guys going to be doing for opener? We got 1 minute left here.
I am going to be wherever you are.
Ooh.
And I will be over where Stru is.
Well, let's go fishing somewhere.
I'm going to be in town.
Let's go 4-Outdoorsman opener fishing trip. What
I'm not
say?
Okay. Let's go Saturday? Someplace. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I could probably do Saturday.
But
Sunday's
I don't have
Mother's
a boat.
Day.
Sam doesn't. Have, oh, you got a boat.
I got a boat.
We got a boat.
Hop on
we
board.
Got a boat.
Yeah. The next weekend, the 16th, whatever it is, I plan on going to the Hunting Shack, the Polish Palace, up by Lake Vermilion for a couple of days. I'm going to do that. But as of right now, nothing really planned. Nothing really planned. So let's go someplace. You're in charge.
We do have to give Sunday to the mothers, though.
Oh yeah, it's Mother's Day.
You know, I got my mom and my mother-in-law. It's also my mother-in-law's birthday.
There you go.
How far do you want to go?
Well, we have to stay local, remember?
Oh, yeah. BS.
Wherever. I have a feeling.
Brandon is now the governor. We do not have to stay close to home.
Yeah, what's you can go wherever limit? You want.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
What's
no
the
weight
limit on your boat?
Oh, we can all fit. All right,
for sure.
Thanks, everybody. Welcome to the 4-Hour Outdoorsman for the last time. We'll see you guys next week. In the meantime, I think Mark's got some advice for you.
Get outside and make some memories.
I like it.
I like it, too.